Australia's annual sexual health checkup has been released, showing HIV cases are declining, but other STIs such as syphilis and gonorrhea have doubled over the last 10 years. While chlamydia cases are relatively stable, it remains the most commonly diagnosed STI in Australia. The data also shows rates of STIs are higher in First Nations communities and regional areas. The Wise Eduardo Jordan spoke with epidemiologist at the Kirby Institute, Dr. Sky McGregor, about the research and what needs to be done to reduce these numbers.
So what we see from the data, that there are almost 6,000 infectious syphilis notifications or diagnoses in 2024, which, although is a slight decline between 2023 and 2024, represents a doubling over 10 years. And while the majority of notifications, around 80%, are among men, the number of women notified with infectious syphilis has quadrupled in that 10-year period. And concerningly, this rise among women has contributed to syphilis in pregnancy, which can cause miscarriage, stillbirth, congenital syphilis, and infant death. And unfortunately, there were 103 congenital syphilis cases between 2015 and 2024, and tragically, 34 infants died. And I think we need to remember that congenital syphilis is a really serious outcome and can result in lifelong disability. And as a consequence of these syphilis data, in August, Australia's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Michael Kidd, declared syphilis a communicable disease incidence of national significance. And this really reflects the priority and need to respond to syphilis in Australia. We also have a report card on gonorrhea, where we found that gonorrhea has doubled in the 10-year period 2015 to 2024, with over 44,000 cases, and the majority of these are among men as well. When we look at chlamydia, it remains the most frequently notified sexually transmissible infection in Australia, with over 100,000 cases in 2024. And around half of these are among people aged 20 to 29. And finally, if we look at HIV, there were 757 notifications in 2024, which does represent a 27% decline over the 10-year period.
Now, you were mentioning the statistics about the STIs rising and HIV declining. Were you surprised by these results?
Yeah, so Eduardo, what we've seen, not just in Australia, but globally, is increases in STIs and declines, particularly in Australia and HIV. And I guess there's a couple of reasons behind this. For the increases in STIs, it's complex, but we know there's a range of factors. And so things like persistent inequities in access to healthcare, including gaps in access to culturally appropriate healthcare and timely testing and treatment. And this is particularly in regional and remote settings. This all contributes to increases. For women giving birth to an infant with congenital syphilis, we know that the majority were diagnosed late in pregnancy. So again, this really suggests issues with access to care and testing. We know that the social determinants of health, so these are the non-medical factors that impact on health, so income, education, employment, job security, food insecurity, they also contribute to increases in STIs through poorer access to healthcare. Among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, we've seen a concerted effort by Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations to increase particularly syphilis testing. However, we know we need to do more on testing too. A study led by the Kirby Institute called the Australian Study of Health and Relationships found that only 16% of people aged 16 to 49 reported having had an STI test. So there's a big gap there.
You mentioned earlier in one of the most concerning STIs on the rise is congenital syphilis. Can you please tell us a little bit in a nutshell what it is and why it's so dangerous?
Yeah, so congenital syphilis is when a pregnant person has syphilis during pregnancy, and untreated, that can be passed on to the infant. And particularly in the early stages of infection, the risk of passing on to the infant is really high. And so this can result in miscarriage, stillbirth, or congenital syphilis. And for congenital syphilis, that can result in lifelong disability for that infant. So it has significant impacts on the individual, but also the family and the community for which that infant is in. And as I said, also the stillbirth. So as we see, 34 infants died of congenital syphilis in the last 10 years. And this is an entirely preventable outcome.
So what can we do as a community to reduce these numbers? And what else is needed to reduce the numbers, particularly in remote areas and First Nations communities?
Yeah, thanks, Eduardo. So it's really important to remind ourselves that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities do experience a disproportionate burden of sexually transmissible infections. So we see rates 2 to 5 times higher among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples compared to non-Indigenous peoples. And these rates are even higher in rural and remote settings, as you've said. And I think there's a number of things we need to do. I think we need to ensure development and appropriate resourcing of affordable, accessible and culturally safe healthcare options. And this needs to be done in partnership with impacted communities. And this will ensure testing, treatment and care for everyone who needs it. And there's a range of testing options. It's really important to have point of care testing available for chlamydia and gonorrhea, particularly in remote settings. And for HIV testing, ensuring, again, a range of testing options, including access to self-testing. Stigma and discrimination are still pervasive for STIs and bloodborne viruses, particularly HIV, and we need to ensure that we're having discussions with sexual partners and healthcare providers and increasing our efforts to reduce stigma and discrimination around STIs and HIV.
Dr. Skye McGregor from the Kirby Institute there, speaking with The Wire's Eduardo Jordan.